Good morning, this is Nick Conrad at breakfast on BBC Radio Norfolk. Chris Burton joins the conversation. Chris is from Rail Future. Chris, very good morning to you.
Very good morning to you.
Our top story this morning, news coming into the programme that Abellio have won the contract to run the Greater Anglia Rail franchise. Starts in October. They now have to provide a new Norwich 90 service between Norwich and the capital and dramatically improve the quality of trains running on our network, providing a modern service with state-of-the-art trains. This all sounds very promising, Chris.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? State-of-the-art. I just wonder what that means for the passenger. Because quite honestly, the Mark III coaches you've got on the Norwich line are probably the best coaches you'll ever see on any line, because they tend to go for harder, brittler seats these days for a whole host of reasons: insurance, weight, and safety.
So are you saying that we'll get these new trains and we'll look to the skies and say, oh, please God, deliver the old rolling stock back. It was far more comfortable.
No, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, because you won't get Norwich in 90 with the current stock. But Norwich in 90 is only going to be on two trains a day, according to their website, although it does look as though one of them might actually go non-stop, because it says that only one of the trains will get to Ipswich in 60 minutes. Which suggests that the other one won't be stopping at Ipswich, which will be unique.
Yes, gosh.
Historically. But anyway, that's a minor point. The other good thing for you chaps in you people in Norwich, is that you'll be able to have a through service to Stansted Airport.
Do you think that we should be pushing for more trains in 90 minutes between Norwich and the capital? And indeed, yes, I'm glad you mentioned that, more services going down to Stansted.
Well, possibly, but I mean, what you've got to look at is how many people actually get out of the train at places like Ipswich, Stowmarket and Diff, and then how many are left getting out at Norwich, because that is your market. You've got very, very tight paths taking you into Liverpool Street. It is so congested. You want to make sure the trains have the maximum loading. I know that sounds like bad news for a traveller, but, I mean, that's the reality. The chance of being able to put in extra tracks going into Liverpool Street looks pretty remote. I mean, there are things they can do, and they are doing, and Network Rail got a heck of a job to actually produce the reliability. I think they've got a more onerous job than probably Abellio will have, but we shall wait and see on that one.
Can you just help us out this morning? Because a lot of people probably are saying, well, how does this whole franchise system work? I've got a text here. It's a good text. It's from Sean, who says, you're talking about multiple billion pound investment here. How do they actually make a profit at the end of the day if the franchise only runs over 9 years?
Well, it depends on whether they're being honest with the words here, because normally when you get new rolling stock, well, all the rolling stock that's currently used by Anglia, both the local diesel trains and the long distance ones, are all leased. The company does not own them, not even the government owns them. They're leased from the what they call the Roscoes, the companies who are the leasing companies. Now, what it doesn't say is whether new ones are going to be leased or bought outright. There's been quite a lot of comment recently that they might actually be bought outright. I haven't seen anything on the website yet to say what that arrangement is going to be. And if they're bought outright, well, obviously they're going to be handed over to the next franchisee in 2025, one expects, because they will have 30-year life.
Yeah, so they'll get some money back.
That's the nature of railway rolling stock.
What about the state of these companies, though, that run rail franchises? And they tend to be, you know, big companies, like First being a very good example.
Well, essentially, they're a management company. It's only the top end that change. And the government either pays them a fee for doing that, and that's the case with the Govia company, which we're hearing so much at the moment, that's running Thameslink for the next 5 or 6 years. They're just being paid a fee. What normally happens is that they get a percentage of the business that they manage to generate. You know, they're all supposed to A, reduce costs, and B, increase business. Those are their two prerequisites, and they get a percentage of that. That's on a negotiated deal. I've no idea what the Abellio one is. That's usually kept rather quiet. I'm sure someone in the financial press, and particularly the FT, Financial Times, will probably divulge that before very long. But I don't know what that is, and there's no information at the moment to hand on the web about that.
Right, we watch the FT with great interest.
Yeah.
take me inside the Department for Transport. Around the table, when they're looking at these bids coming in, how do they award these franchises? What are they looking for? What is it about Abellio Greater Anglia above consistency that you think has attracted the government to this particular offer that's on the table over the others?
Well, you're sending me into the realm of speculation here, but what usually happens is, what has happened in the past on a great many franchises until fairly recently, is the person who offered the best return to the Treasury, the least subsidy or the greatest premium, like on the East Coast Main Line, which produces a great deal of money. When you buy a ticket there, roughly a third of your ticket goes straight to the government. And that's how they pay for. That's how they fund new infrastructure and new trains.
Right.
When they choose to buy them, that's how it goes. But that's what they look at. But recently, they've realised that parts of the country that actually need true investment. And East Anglia, they've finally caught up with the game. It's got to have new stuff. It always used to have hand-me-down stuff and kit, rolling stock, whatever you want to call it. And this is a complete new game, because apparently they claim that everything is going to go and be replaced by new trains. What intrigues me is that there's no hint of what they call a bi-mode train. I better explain what that is. It's very simply, it's a train that, when it's under the wires, runs by the electricity that comes from the wires and the pantograph pickup, and then when it gets to a place like, say, Ipswich or Norwich and has to go to Yarmouth or Lowestoft, which is not wired, it immediately switches on the underfloor diesel engines and off it goes that way. Now, as far as I know, Bombardier don't do bi-mode trains. Maybe they're planning to, but there's no suggestion of it on their website and there's no suggestion of it in the Department for Transport. And yet those trains will be absolutely ideal for East Anglia.
Chris, I'm going to put you on speed dial. You know what you're talking about, and you can help us through these rather tricky franchise documents. I've got one in front of me here, and I think if people don't know that much about the rail industry, then I mean, it might as well be written...
Where I trip up, then, is it?
they might as well be written in French. You can be our rail correspondent as you take us through what this potentially might mean for Norfolk. Really good to speak to you once again this morning, Chris. You take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris Burton, who is the vice chairman of East Anglia, the East Anglian branch of Rail Future.